This program, brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com, is suitable for mature audiences only and may contain explicit sexual information.
Hello, and welcome to A Taste of Sex guest speaker interviews. I'm your host, Beth Crittenden, coming to you from One Taste Urban Retreat Center, the San Francisco version. We're an intentional community that runs a national business now. We have centers in San Francisco and New York, and also a vibrant online community that we invite you to visit at www.onetastesf.com. This show is for Personal Life Media, which you can find at www.personallifemedia.com. And our guest for tonight is Julia Tendall.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Julia will be our guest speaker tonight at One Taste in San Francisco. She's leading a workshop, and there will be another recording of that. But for our interview tonight, we're going to talk about a couple of different things. One is how presence can completely influence your sexuality and sexual interactions to encompass the whole range of experience. And you'll hear more of what we mean about that a little bit later. And we're also going to talk about how self-inquiry can enhance your sexual experience, how people can get past any shame that's blocking them from having amazing sex. So you may ask, how does Julia know these things? These things sound important, and they are. She has a great background, a lot of diversity, which we so appreciate here. She is a tantra teacher. She studied with Margot Anand, and now that Margot is retired, Julia is one of the few people so far who is carrying on her work. So I'm very pleased to have you here representing that. Mm-hmm. And also, she teaches classes on self-inquiry. She's also a Hatha yoga teacher and has written two books. One is called Your Presence is Enough, and the other is called 20 Questions for Enlightened Living.
It's when we let go of our control to the point where the energy is moving us, and we float in that surrender into the most beautiful, blissful state. To me, that's orgasm. And it doesn't have to be genital for you to experience that.
The essence of Tantra is presence, yes. And that it allows people to embrace the whole being that they are. Mm-hmm. So talk about that, and what interests you about that?
Yeah, well, we've all been in situations where people haven't been present with us. I mean, we can think back to our teenage years, I'm sure, maybe even years in our 20s, when we were in situations with people where they just weren't there. And it becomes all about the physical, and we don't feel the heart open. And certainly as a woman, in those circumstances, I have had a sexual experience like that, and then I've felt that sense of just emptiness afterwards, and the sense of feeling unloved and unappreciated, because my partner wasn't present with me. And I would say through a lot of my younger years, that's the kind of experience I had, because I didn't attract men who were present. And that's because I myself wasn't very present. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know how to really feel my body in all ways. I didn't know how to breathe, how to make eye contact, and all the things that we teach in Tantra. So for me, I've been on a journey of having very unsatisfactory sex in my early years, and then realizing there's got to be something more than this. Mm-hmm. And luckily for myself, I did discover Tantra, and I discovered Margot Anand, and spent a few years with her doing teacher training and also doing some assisting with her. And from that study and reading books and connecting with other great people, I've learned the importance of breath and eye contact and all these other little tips that can help us be more present in our bodies, and then therefore help us to feel more fully and to flower into our true capacity. Yes, as our flowers here, as sexual beings.
Tell us about one of the first moments you remember when you discovered what a difference presence could make. What was the before and after?
Okay. So I'm thinking back to a time when I was with a very tantric man. This was early on in my discovery.
What does that mean, very tantric?
A tantric man, very good question. It means a man who was holding what we call the Shiva space. Shiva being the essence of emptiness, and it's actually, Shiva is an Indian word for the god that holds the male energy, as opposed to Shakti, who is the goddess. She's holding the feminine energy. And in Tantra, we work with the energies of Shiva and Shakti, and Shiva holds a place of empty presence for Shakti to sink into and dance. She needs to dance, move, and flower and express herself. And that really is the essence of how to balance the masculine and feminine energies and to create polarity and therefore sexual attraction. So in Tantra, we work with that. And when I'm with what I would call a tantric man, what he's doing for me is he's holding that space of beautiful, empty presence where he's allowing me to express and flower, and he's not at all interested in his own needs. He's all about helping me expand. And in my expansion and my pleasure, that becomes his bliss and his pleasure. So the first time I experienced that, I was just blown away, because here's this man, he keeps his eyes open the whole time. He's looking into my eyes. He's got all the time in the world for me. He's constantly checking in and communicating with me. How does that feel? Do you like the way I'm touching you? What would you like more of and less of? So we're having this great communication. I'm feeling really safe. And in the safety that I felt with the container he held for me, I could relax deeply and experience more of my sexuality and my pleasure. And he found parts in me that ain't ever been discovered before.
Wow.
And that was really exciting.
What did it feel like for you to discover your sexuality like that?
Well, it was really mind-blowing for me, because I didn't know I had a G-spot at that point. And he was the first person to find it for me. And I'm going, whoa, what's that I'm feeling there? That feels very different. And so having somebody to take the time with me to experience what I can feel inside myself was unbelievably precious. Because my experience is that once we've had that, it's like riding a bike. Our body opens and then it knows how to feel it more and again, and it has a greater capacity to keep flowering deeper and deeper.
So what do you teach people to get them walked over that first bridge to be able to feel that deeper and deeper?
Yeah, well, you know, I believe in baby steps, and I believe in really getting grounded in the basics when we start. So if I'm teaching basic tantra to somebody, we'll start with a real simple thing of even just staring into the eyes and just noticing what comes up as we look at each other deeply. We call that soul gazing. So we're really looking into the essence, the soul of the other person. And as somebody looks into our eyes, what's coming up for us? And very often we'll find that it's feelings of unworthiness and self-judgment and self-criticism. And all these things need to be experienced and felt and communicated for us to drop into deeper presence. Otherwise, we'll get stuck at that level and we'll be self-conscious, and that'll take us out of deeper presence.
How do people know when they're in deeper presence?
How do they know? I think it's something that you know over time as you practice this, and it's also something your partner will reflect to you if you have a conscious partner. So anyway, we would start with something like the eye gazing, and then we could create a little ritual. And I really believe in the power of rituals to help us disconnect from the rest of our worldly life and to bring us into what we might call sacred time with our beloved, where nothing else exists, just you and the beloved, the Shiva and the Shakti. or the Shakti and the Shakti and the Shiva and the Shiva, whoever it is, it doesn't matter, but the beloved. So what we might do is we might, for example, call in the directions. You could use the Native American way of doing that.
In the ritual.
Yes, as a ritual. We could walk around the room and just voice all the negative energies that we ourselves would like to release. Like, I want to release shame, I want to release anger, I choose to release jealousies and uptightness. And then we would walk again in the opposite direction and bring in all the positive energies that we want to create for the ambiance of the room, like love, sensuality, spontaneity, things like that. And then I think it's really beautiful to sit down with your partner and to honor them in some way, because again, when we are appreciated, we can flower more deeply. So I teach my students to do a blessing, and we will bless our partner's chakras or just their body parts and say something really sweet. Like, for example, if I was going to do it to you, I would say, I bless your beautiful eyes and the presence that they hold and their wisdom that shines through them and their beauty. Or something like that. So
you
can just feel that and drop into feeling appreciated. And when we're appreciated, we then feel more connected too and more present in our body. So we could start out with that gentle little ritual, each appreciating the other, some simple eye gazing, maybe a little communication of anything that's going on, and then maybe working with some really gentle, simple touch on a really erotic part of the body, like, for example, your left arm. Just to practice. And we might practice just really gently touching in different ways, and then practicing feedback with our partner. How does it feel? And this is for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's to get people used to feeding back to the partner so that it doesn't become anything weird. I know when I was very young, I didn't say a word to my partners. They had to read my mind and get it right. And that was the end of the story, because wasn't going to say nothing. I thought it was a British thing, but maybe it's a
Southern thing too.
Maybe it happens over here too. So, you know, I myself needed to practice saying gently to my partner, oh, that's nice, and how about trying this? That's nice. And then feeding back the positive feedback of something you really like, so that the partner can get used to what is your cadence, your rhythm, and what works for you as far as touch. And also for you to tune in and feel deeply in your body, that feels good, that feels erotic, that's sensual, oh, that doesn't feel so good. And learning to be present in any part of the physical body as deeply as possible.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting ready to take a short break to support our sponsors.
Okay.
And if people want to study with you, how can they find out more about your work?
Well, I have a website, and it is www.juliatindall.com, and I'll spell it. It's J-U-L-I-A. TINDALL.com. So they can do that, or they can email me, juliatin@AOL.com. That's just JULAATIN@AOL. Or call me. I have an answer system. You can leave a message if you have questions. I'm at 916-486-4620.
Great. Thank you, Julia Tindall. We'll be right back after a short break on A Taste of Sex, guest speaker interviews on personallifemedia.com from One Taste Urban Retreat Center.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Hello, and welcome back to A Taste of Sex, guest speaker interviews. I'm your host, Beth Crittenden. I'm from One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco. And tonight we're speaking with Julia Tindall, and we're going to go into, for the second part of the show, kind of healing from sexual shame and how does the process of self-inquiry, which Julia teaches, lead people to be able to explore really deeply. So you've said before that this work really lights you up and is really important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have had a lot of shame in my past that I've had to contend with, and I was really very sexually shut down when I was younger. So I didn't even know it till a few years ago. It took a while for me to discover that I did in fact carry some shame, and the reason I discovered it was I got genital herpes. And it turned out to be the greatest blessing for me. But at the time, of course, I was shocked and horrified and thought my sex life had ended forever. But as it turned out, I looked in Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, and it said genital herpes is about shame. And I thought, I don't think I have any shame. I don't know. I thought I was completely normal. And as I investigated deeper, I realized that I was carrying a ton of shame. And it was from incidents in my teen years, my childhood even, my 20s, when on some level I had been made wrong or shut down around my sexuality. For example, I remember when I was 19, some guy told me I was frigid. Mm-hmm. Another person told me he didn't think I was made right. Hmm. Oh gosh, I was so terrified of any man even looking at my genitals because I thought I wasn't made right for the longest time. You know, and little things like this that people can say to you when you're young go very deep inside. And we carry this as shame energy. And for myself, I've needed to unravel those things. And as I've unraveled them and realized that I'm perfectly normal and fine, everything about me is in the perfection that it's meant to be. As I've owned that place and accepted myself more fully, then my sexuality could open up more. And it continues to do so. I mean, it's actually an ever-expanding journey. And I'm fascinated to help other women with this because because I've had it as my own journey so deeply. It's something very close to my heart. And in my Tantra classes, we often break up into male groups and female groups where we get a chance to talk about this kind of thing. And I'm always so touched on how so many women will tell me, wow, this is the first time I've ever been able to open up and tell anybody this. And then they'll come out with some secret they've been carrying. Mm-hmm. And once the secret is out and people can talk about what's been bothering them, they find that it doesn't carry the same charge anymore. So they can release it and let go of that cellular memory.
What are the most typical types of shame or secrets that you hear from women?
Boy, it can be so many things. A lot of it's, it can be masturbation stuff. It can be feeling over-sexual and being shamed for that, being called a slut and a whore. Mm-hmm. It can be around just the way they judge their genitalia. Mm-hmm. It could be that they had incidents with animals when they were young, and they were shamed, they feel ashamed about that. It can be that somebody told them they were a lousy kisser, or they didn't make love right. And whenever we hear anything negative like that, oh, we're such sensitive beings and we take it so to heart. Mm-hmm. So this all requires a healing process. And the beginning of a healing process is in airing it out and having other people witness you. And you can feel, wow, I've said this big thing and these people are still here loving me, accepting me. That is probably the quickest, biggest thing you can do to heal it is just share it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what would a typical workshop look like that people would get to the point of feeling that it was appropriate or safe or whatever the words would be to have them tell these things they've never told anyone else? What makes it work?
Really, for setting up a safe container is the main thing. So obviously we have a confidentiality agreement with everybody. And we don't normally go straight into the shame issues. We'll spend a whole morning creating other exercises for safety and for honoring and trust and building energy as a group so that by the time we get to the afternoon sessions, people are ready to really open deeper. And that normally works really well.
What specifically changed for you? What I asked you before about before and after around shame, how did your experiences deepen or get hotter or whatever it was that happened for you?
It's been a process. I can't really say it was any one thing. Okay, I can say one thing. All right.
Okay.
When I was assisting Margot Anand one year in her workshops, she does a process which is a hands-on process with a man touching a woman and the woman communicating, giving feedback, and then vice versa. And to my horror, I was volunteered to do this. And I was still terrified of people watching me be sexual in public. And there was just no backing down, and I knew this was the fear piece I had to just blast through. So I went, I took a big gulp, and I said, okay, I'll do this. And so 80 people watched me get touched sexually, genitally, by a wonderful man, and watched me breathe and send energy and give feedback and go through that whole process. And it's a very beautiful process. But of course, I was so terrified at just being watched. I'd never done anything like this before. And I can tell you that it really changed my life, because not only did people come up to me and say how much they appreciated me being vulnerable, but they also appreciated the beauty of what was shared. And it made me go, wow, that was all just okay. It was okay to be seen. It was okay to do what I've learned to do in this way and to share myself with others. And my gosh, if ever there was a shame buster for me, that was it.
Nice. Do you think if you would have still been living in Britain, you would have done something like that?
No, I absolutely think I would not. I think I really needed to leave my cultural conditioning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for many of us who are on a deeper spiritual path. If we're going through the self-inquiry process, which is about unraveling our conditioning, then it can be very important for us to break away from the old. And of course, the old for us very often is parents and hometown. So I ended up moving 7,000 or 8,000 miles west, and here I am here in the West Coast. So for me, this has been important. I think it would have been much trickier to break through the shame otherwise. Yeah.
And do people know, like, do the people that held your cultural conditioning know that you've been on this exploration and that you're on this deeper spiritual path?
My parents have read my books, yes. And in my books, I write all about shame as part of the second book, Your Presence is Enough. It's a lot about unraveling conditioning, and the shame piece is in there. So yes, they have read it, and they're actually quite in awe that I have been so vulnerable and declared so much of my deeper self, and it's affected them too. Mm. And of course, that's wonderful. We've grown, my dad's now passed away, but my mom and I have grown much closer as a result of this ability to share more deeply and to be more present with each other.
Mm. So it helps sexuality and sensuality, but also just across the range.
I guess we started talking about the self-inquiry, and we talked about shame as an aspect of it, but really self-inquiry is about finding who we are in our deepest essence, finding who we are as a soul, and getting underneath all the layers of personality and conditioning. It's what in yoga we call jnana yoga, meaning wisdom yoga, actually, but in essence it's the self-inquiry. So that's one of my other passions, and I teach that, and the two books I've written are about that. Mm. And it's work that, as the Course in Miracles said, is not optional. We're all going to have to do it at some point. We're all going to have to dive deep down and discover who we are, or we'll keep, as the yogis say, going round this circle of lifetimes.
And so do you think what people are diving into is an unchanging thing, or is it more like water that you dip into and you just see at that moment what it is?
Well, the presence that we are is changeless at its deepest essence. So when we touch that, even if for a moment, it'll affect us profoundly. And very few people can touch that essence and stay grounded in it. We tend to raise our energy back up and get back into our personalities and our behaviors. And it takes a long, long time and lots of dedicated practice to let that go, so you can drop deeper down into deeper presence. And the rewards are hugely worth it. So I encourage everybody to make it part of their conscious spiritual journey, and it becomes also part of the sexual awakening too. Mm. Because the two are interchangeable. Without deep presence, as we spoke of earlier, you're not going to have deep, deep connected sex.
Mm. What's next for you in your work?
What's next for me? other than teaching tonight here? Well, I have a Tantra workshop teaching with Jim Benson, who used to be Margot's partner, this Saturday in Oakland, and we're doing a unique workshop on helping people feel full body orgasm. Mm. And that's exciting to us. It's the first time we've run this workshop. And then I'm taking groups traveling this coming fall and winter. I'm taking a group to England and then New Zealand in December and Mexico for a yoga intensive in January.
Great.
And I'm excited about all that.
I'm curious, how do you define full body orgasm?
Oh, I hadn't thought about defining it. I would say it's feeling the energy running from your toes to the crown of your head and even beyond. So you're really involving the whole of the body and the whole of the energy field. It's not just limited to genitalia.
And what makes it orgasm, in your opinion?
What makes orgasm? That's a very good question. Boy, I haven't thought about these definitions. I would say it's when we let go of our control to the point where the energy is moving us and we float in that surrender into the most beautiful, blissful state. To me, that's orgasm. And it doesn't have to be genital for you to experience that.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Boy, I think we've covered a lot here.
That was a lot.
It's a lot of information. I know I've thrown a lot of stuff out at people. So if you want more information, please do contact me. I'd love to hear from you.
Great.
Yeah.
So for text and transcripts of this show, you can visit the website, personallifemedia.com. Or you can go to iTunes and just search for A Taste of Sex and find the show there. Again, this has been A Taste of Sex guest speaker interviews from One Taste Urban Retreat Center, www.onetastesf.com. If you'd like to email us, you can email onetaste@personallifemedia.com. And thanks for joining us.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.